Welcome everybody to another edition of the unscripted wrestling show. And tonight my host is Doug Hummer. How are you today, Doug?
I'm good, Eric. How are you?
I'm good. Tonight we'll be doing another watch along. Tonight we'll be doing Bash at the Beach 1996 when Mr. Hogan turned heel on the wrestling world. We'll be watching that and seeing how that played out. My bad, sorry.
Okay.
So do you want to give the backstory on this, Doug?
Okay, or, so, yeah, I can do it. Yeah, and then, you know, give a little bit of backstory, and then we can get into the match.
Of course.
Basically, this match, for anybody that does not know, you know, back in the summer of 1996, actually heading back into the spring, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, who were known as Razor and Diesel, or Razor Ramon and Diesel, respectively, in the WWF, were leaving the WWF because they got big money offers to go to WCW. And so when they went, basically they were, you know, trying to come up with, you know, an idea for them. And because they were both in WCW years prior, Scott Hall as the Diamond Stud and Kevin Nash as many gimmicks, Oz and Master Blaster Steel and Vinnie Vegas. And didn't necessarily pan out. So when they went to WCW, basically they're trying to figure out what to do. Well, Eric Bischoff saw this angle take place in Japan. It was the new guard versus the old guard. So basically he wanted to take that and he wanted to Americanize it. So we ended up getting, you know, the seeds planted for the New World Order. And so Scott Hall makes his debut on May 27th, 1996, walks out into the crowd and says, if you want a war, you got a war. Basically making it sound like he still works for the WWF. Yeah,
yep.
making it sound like he still worked for the WWF at the time.
Yep.
Then, you know, Kevin Nash shows up, you know, on June 10th, and they say they're going to be at the Great American Bash. They show up at the Great American Bash. They want a six-man tag. They say they have a surprise buddy. Now, I remember, were you watching wrestling at that time, Eric?
I think so. I might have started watching 97, but I forget when I started watching. It was like 96 or 97.
Because I can't remember like exactly when you told me you started watching.
Yeah,
but I know you're kind of familiar with all this stuff.
Yeah,
obviously, you know, from talking to me.
Of course.
But so like back around that time, I wasn't watching a lot because I was kind of, you know, prohibited from watching too much because my mom and dad, you know, thought that wrestling was too violent or whatever, and my dad didn't really like it anymore, so he's like, oh, you can't watch it anymore either. So I would only watch it when I would go over to my grandfather's house. But like around this time, like when I heard about the six-man tag and all that and who the outsider's partner was going to be, I mean, 10-year-old me, like, I had no idea, like, how the business worked at the time. So I wasn't 100% sure who it would be. I mean, I thought, you know, because back then it was, you know, wrestling was just full of good guys and bad guys. And, you know, Scott Hall and Kevin Nash were kind of playing the role of the bad guys at that time. So I'm thinking, I'm like, all right, well, you know, it's got to be another bad guy. I actually thought the partner, like 10-year-old me at the time thought that the partner was supposed to be, or was either going to be Ric Flair or the Giant.
That
would have
been interesting.
Were both,
too.
Well, they were both heels at the time, so that's why, like, I thought,
yeah.
I had no idea because I didn't know about heel turns and babyface turns and all that.
Oh yeah.
Okay, I didn't know how that worked. I was 10 years old.
Exactly.
You know, I started learning about all that stuff when I was about like 12 or 13.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first heel turn I had actually like ever watched, the first time I ever saw somebody turn heel. And this is really dating myself. First time I had ever seen somebody turn heel, it was in 1991 on WCW TV. It was an episode of the old Power Hour. Beautiful Bobby Eaton was teaming with Arn Anderson and Dustin Rhodes, and they were taking on Arn Anderson and Larry Zbyszko, and Bobby wouldn't take the tag from Dustin. And I kept thinking, what's going on? And I had no idea. And then when Bobby finally tagged in, he tagged in where the referee couldn't see him. He came in and he body slammed Dustin, and then he left the ring.
Oh, wow. And they had a feud?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, it was basically like a tag team feud, but it was a feud. So that was like, and I was 5 years old at the time, and I could not understand it. I remember asking my grandfather, because I was watching with my grandfather. I said, what just happened? Why did he hit his partner? He goes, oh, he's a bad guy now. And I'm like, so he just decided that he was just going to be a bad guy? He goes, yeah. Because I had no idea how that worked. I was 5 years old at the time.
Yeah.
And so, like, this whole thing here with the Bash at the Beach, I didn't know that anybody was going to turn heel or anything like that, because I still didn't know how the business worked.
Yep.
So, like, and, you know, you through the years, you hear all this stuff. You know, you hear all the rumors and all that on who was supposed to be, who the third man was supposed to be and all that. And you hear people just say, I mean, I think even wrestlers have gone out and said, oh, yeah, I was supposed to be the third man.
I've heard Sting.
Well, so Sting wasn't necessarily an option. I mean, he was. But if you listen to Sting, Sting had no idea that they were thinking of him.
Oh, wow.
Sting did an interview with JBL about 3 or 4 years ago.
When JBL
and when JBL had that Legends with JBL show.
Okay.
And JBL asked him about it, and Sting said, "You know what? People have told me that," or this is Sting's exact words. He goes, "You know, people have come up and asked me about it, have said, hey, we heard that you were supposed to be, that you were going to be the third guy if Hogan said no." And Sting was just like, you know, I keep hearing that, but I don't remember. I don't remember ever being asked. I don't remember ever being told.
Interesting.
And then so when JBL had Hall and Nash on the, like, not that long after he had Sting on, he had asked him, he goes, you know, Sting claims he does not remember being asked about being the third man. He never remembered that being the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And Scott Hall had said, he goes, oh, yeah, because Hogan was the guy that they were thinking of, or that we wanted, and Bischoff said that if Hogan said no, he was going to tell Sting, oh, yeah, by the way, you're doing it.
They wanted somebody that was a babyface.
They wanted a babyface person you know, that represented WCW.
Exactly.
And
which makes sense.
Right. I mean, to be honest with you, another guy that I actually thought of at the time, because he had just, you know, switched over from being a heel and was a babyface, I actually thought it was going to be Lex Luger. Because Lex Luger had been a heel, and I didn't necessarily, you know, think he was a good guy yet. But then when I saw that he was a good guy, I'm like, that's not going to last. He's going to turn on Sting. So that's actually who I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
But then, you know, other names have been tossed around, I guess, over the years saying, oh, and Bischoff's denied every one of these.
Yeah, they haven't done that on this podcast yet,
though. No, they did the Bash at the Beach 96, or the formation of the NWO, I mean.
Oh, okay, I have to see that. I thought it was just...
I forgot what episode it was. It may have been the first one.
Okay.
But he did talk about it, and, like, he was asked, because all these names were brought up, like, Mabel was brought up, and Tatanka was brought up, Bret Hart was brought up, The Warrior was brought up, because The Warrior was getting ready to leave the WWF, and everybody thought that the WWF was going to come, that he was going to leave the WWF right away for WCW. And so I have no idea. Like I have no idea like what's true and what's not.
Yeah.
I mean, Bischoff denies a lot of this. So I have no idea. I just know that, you know, with what they came up with. You know, obviously it was historic.
Exactly.
So, so basically they come in, you know, they do the thing, they powerbomb Bischoff, the Great American Bash 96, and then they have this six-man tag. The Bash at the Beach 96 pay-per-view itself had a couple of good matches, but nothing spectacular. I shouldn't say nothing spectacular, because Rey Mysterio Jr. and Psychosis opened the show and had a fantastic match. But other than that, it was a so-so show that was built on one match. You know, like when we watched Hogan and Flair from the 94 Bash.
It was only built around that match.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what this 96 Bash was built on, was, you know, this six-man tag.
Yep. Everybody wanted to know who was it going to be. Let's see.
Yeah, it was, nobody knew, I think, who the third man was going to be. And I don't think anybody really expected it to be Hogan.
Yeah, that's what made it so historic.
Exactly. And it was something that, something I'll never forget. Well, hearing about it the next day. I didn't watch the pay-per-view live.
Mm-hmm.
My mom and dad talked about ordering the pay-per-view. But then when my dad found out it was $30, he said, I ain't spending that kind of money. Cheap jerk.
You just watch it the next day.
Yeah, so I watched Nitro, because my mom told me I could watch Nitro the next day to find out what happened.
They
show clips and all that, and I couldn't believe it.
It was a historic moment. So
yeah. So are we ready to get to it?
Yep. If unless you have anything else all to right. Add on.
I don't know. You got something to add to this?
I don't think so, but we do have one question from Twitter. If you want to, you want to answer it now, or do you want to answer after?
I can answer it now.
Kind of, okay, because it's kind of what we you were just talking about.
Okay.
This is from Wrestling with Reality Podcast, and shout out to him because
okay.
he helped me with a new logo for the podcast, which is I'm gonna put on soon. But he asked if not Hogan or any of the competitors in this match, who would have been a good third man for the NWO in your opinion?
Kind of hard to say, but
yeah,
I'd probably have to go with I probably would say Bret Hart.
Now, was he still with the WWF at the time? I mean, under contract.
He was negotiating with everybody else.
Okay. So he was a sort of a free agent. Hello?
Yeah, basically, yeah, he was.
Okay. I'm going to say Sting. Because before Hogan, wasn't he the biggest babyface in WCW?
Right. Yeah.
So I think Sting would have been just as shocking as Hulk Hogan, if not maybe even more shocking, because he was such a big baby face in WCW. He was basically the face of WCW before Hogan.
Right.
Or not? Yeah.
Yeah, he was the WCW version of Hogan.
Before Hogan, yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. So, get this, since, you know, it's live, since it's live radio, I'm having an issue trying to get to the match.
Is that connecting?
Oh, no, it's connecting, but, like, I'm trying to fast forward through the pay-per-view and it won't let me.
Oh.
Hold on.
Okay.
So of course this is what it, of course this had to happen. let's see. Just bear with me here for a second, of course, because the WWE Network
changed their format,
upgraded or whatever.
Yeah, I have it on my iPad. It's all different too. Now you can it's easier to jump from. On the app, it's easier to jump to a match.
Right.
But you're using it on a computer, right?
Yeah. All right, hold on a second here. All right. Let's see.
I'm at the 211 mark. That's where.
All right. I got the... I have to watch it on Daily Motion.
Okay. They have it on Daily Motion.
Yeah. Give me a second here. Of course, live radio, folks. This is what had to happen.
That always something with live radio, right?
Yeah. Exactly. Oh, here we go. All right. Stupid ass thing.
This was actually a long match, wasn't it?
Well, it's about a half hour altogether.
Oh, well, yeah.
All right, so you're at what, the 211 mark?
At the 214 now. Playing the Bruce Buffer announcing the contention.
All right, here we go. Now I'm at 214.
Okay.
All right. I mean, this wasn't technically like what I had planned on, but until the network gets, figured out to where you could fast forward to the events.
Yeah. That sucks that network had to screw that up.
Yeah, it's all right. It's basically, like, even when anything upgrades, it doesn't, like, necessarily upgrade
perfectly.
Right. I like how, like, they basically just built this thing as, like, the hostile takeover match.
Yep.
And now you got Gene Okerlund and Walk. Well, no, they didn't. They used the theme song that they used for the pay-per-view.
Oh, wow. Hold on,
and now Gene Okerlund's in the ring. He's about ready to interview the outsiders.
Oh, you're ahead of me.
I'm at the 334 mark.
Oh yeah, okay.
All right, are you there?
Hold on, I have to get into the ring now.
All right, where are you at right now?
Hall and Nash just got in the ring.
All right, what's the time frame? What's the time stamp?
For me, it's 2:15.
2:15?
15.
All right,
it might be
pause
different
it.
On your, yeah, I did pause it.
Pause the damn thing. All right, what does it say now?
2:16.
What does the timestamp say now? 2:16?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. All right. All right, hit play now. All right. What's it at now?
To what now? Almost 2:17.
Oh, for Christ's sake, Eric, we're supposed to be synchronized here.
2:17. Gene is coming towards the ring.
All right. Fast forward it to 2:51.
Okay.
All right.
He's doing the interview now. Yeah, he's doing the interview now.
Okay. So now mine's at 2:53, 2:54, 2:55, all that. All right. So now we should be on the same thing.
Scott Hall is talking.
I got Gene Okerlund coming into the ring now. All right, so now he's getting ready to interview the outsiders, and this is where the outsiders say, oh, yeah, we don't need a third partner right now. We got all this handled under control.
Yep.
So we'll see. But yeah, like it. Yeah, so they're just talking for a little bit. It's funny, you know, this pay-per-view, you know, this took place at in Daytona Beach at the Ocean Center. And that's actually where AEW had Fyter Fest last month.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. And the same exact arena, wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. Here comes who's coming out first.
I think they're all coming out together.
Okay.
Let's see. Nobody's out yet. There's Luger.
Oh, Luger. And then Sting.
Luger came out first, and then Sting, and then here comes Savage. They all got the Sting face paint on.
Luger and Sting are still tag team champions, right?
No, they're not. No, they lost the tag titles a couple weeks beforehand.
Oh, okay.
It's funny, Sting's got black and Sting's got green and yellow face paint on. Savage, I think, is wearing purple and yellow, and Luger's got black and white face paint on.
He has black and white. And this time, they didn't know they were called NWO yet. Same.
No. It's...
They're just called the
basically, they were just called the Outsiders, and they didn't even necessarily refer to them by name yet. Like when they stepped in the ring, or when they started getting the match on, that's when Shivani finally called one of them by their frickin' name.
What did Mean Gene call them?
He just said Outsiders.
Name? Oh, okay.
A lot of stalling there.
Yep.
Probably be a good idea if you turn down the volume.
I'll turn it up when Hogan comes out because I think that's a historic moment to play.
Right. I think a lot of people would have expected Savage to turn heel, too. I mean, obviously he eventually would, but, you know, because Savage is a former WWF guy.
Yeah, people forget that. I mean, he left WWF, what years? How many years before?
He left WWE in 94.
Okay. So right before Hogan did.
No, right after Hogan did.
Oh, okay, so they both left around the same, right? Well, I mean, Macho Man left right after.
Right.
So they lost two big stars.
Here's where Luger gets hurt. Sting hits a splash in the corner. Luger got caught underneath it because he was, you know, getting sandwiched by a 300 and something pound guy.
And then, so it turns into a tag.
Yeah. It basically turned into a tag match. Savage beating the crap out of Scott Hall. And now they're looking at Luger. See, this is where, like, if they really wanted to throw a curveball, this is where, like, you know, Luger gets hurt, and then Luger could have made his way back out to the ring at the end of the match, saying that he's all heel, saying that he's going to fight for his buddies, and then that's where he could have turned on Sting and Savage.
Yep, I was about to say that. You read my mind. Here comes the stretcher. Because I think they even mentioned that on the broadcast, that if Luger... Did they even mention in the broadcast Luger was there? That's what they did.
Yeah, I mean, well, Dusty Rhodes didn't trust Lex Luger. I know that, because Dusty bad-mouthed him for, like, a couple of months.
He probably thought he was going to turn on Sting.
Right, exactly.
Even though they were tag team partners and good friends.
Right.
Hmm.
And so now we see the replay of where he took out Luger. And
Luger never came back.
He didn't come back in the match, no. So it turned into a tag match. It was Hall and Nash versus Savage and Sting.
Yep. Heard out here. Then take a move. For Luger. Aha, Sting.
So. Well, yeah, so Luger's getting rushed out. Now we got a tag match. Which, to be honest with you, I actually preferred this tag match, you know. I actually preferred this being the match.
Instead of a 3-on-2.
Right, because I liked Savage and Sting better, you know, back when I was a kid. Savage and Sting were my favorites.
I think I asked you, like,
and
that Luger. He went back to WF. No way.
Huh?
No, he never went back to WF, right?
No, he didn't. He was negotiating to go back, but then the thing with Miss Elizabeth happened, where Miss Elizabeth died. So Vince was just like, okay, yeah, you're never coming back.
Oh. So actually,
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I did watch it before 95. I think I watched it when Luger was still in the WWF. I forget. My memory sucks.
So, back in 2003... when a lot of the guys from Turner, a lot of the guys from WCW, when their Time Warner contracts were up, that's when a lot of those guys were actually being contacted to come to the WWF. Because a lot of those, you know, in the buyout, they took the money from the buyout to just sit out the rest of their contracts.
Like Sting. Sting was one.
Sting was one of them. Nash was another. I think the
Razor.
Guys that took the buy. No, Razor had already been fired from WCW.
Okay.
Hogan, Nash, Sting, Goldberg, Scott Steiner, believe it or not, Disco Inferno. Luger took the money.
Booker. Booker D.
No, Booker. Booker went to the WWE right away.
Oh, that's right. He was fired in Invasion. I forgot.
Yeah. Now you see Sting in there getting pounded by Nash. Of course, that's what a hot tag does.
Exactly.
Yeah, Sting got like the first hot tag of the match, and he's getting pounded by Nash right away. That just shows you how bad, you know, how badly they wanted to get Hall and Nash over. Like, Hall and Nash were just beating the shit out of these guys.
Exactly. That way, the moment when Hogan comes, they think they're saving the day, and then boom.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think this was a good booking. This is perfectly booking because they had everybody shocked.
Oh, Sting just hit a drop, Jake. He actually hits an offensive move.
Here comes Nash.
Well, sunset flip. How the hell are you going to sunset flip a guy that's 6'11"?
Chokes. Kind of a choke, man.
Jesus. Some of the stuff, like, you look back on some of the stuff now, like, you think back then that, that, you know, that these guys are pulling off good moves, but, like, now you look at it and just like, what the hell is wrong with this fucking moron?
Yeah. I don't think this match would go over in today's wrestling.
It would have to be
booked
better.
Yeah. In 96, this is good booking, but today's WWE probably not.
I mean, you could do like a thing to where, like, I mean, what they should have done is they should have done an NXT invasion. And I'm not talking about when they had the Nexus guys come in and do all that. Like, because I know, like, they tried that with the Nexus guys, and it didn't necessarily get over. I mean, it got over until they got beat at SummerSlam.
By John Cena. By Cena?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the fact that it got over until that point, I mean, I can understand it, but, like, if you would do something like that today with, say, like, you know, Adam Cole and the Undisputed Era and Johnny Gargano and Riddle and Velveteen Dream.
I think it would go over.
I think it would go over huge because you've got, like, even if, like, you took a lot of the guys from, or that came from, like, the more well-known independent promotions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not talking like, Johnny Gargano, even though, you know, Johnny Gargano was an evolved guy, as was Ricochet, as was, you know, Adam Cole and all that, but, like, if you would have had, like, a Ring of Honor type invasion.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
But, no, I was just going to say, like, a Ring of Honor type invasion, or even, like, a TNA type invasion.
Where? No.
You know, it probably would have gotten over. But you would have to take one of their guys.
One of our teenage guys.
One of the, you'd have to take one of the WWE guys and turn them heel. I mean, it would more than likely would have to be Cena.
Oh, yeah. Can you imagine that? That would have been awesome. I think Cena turning heel, I think he should turn heel. I mean, he's not a full-time wrestler anymore, so it doesn't make any sense. No?
Right.
But that segment on Monday was pretty awesome.
I mean, I enjoyed Monday's Raw.
Yeah, so did I. Okay. I've seen that guy get ovations last week.
Right. But getting back to the match here, because this is technically a watch along.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, guys.
Yeah. But like you see Nash with the abdominal stretch here, and you know nobody. I don't think anybody's submitted from an abdominal stretch since 19 froze to death.
Oh wow!
I mean, I've never, in all the years I've watched, I've never seen a guy
tap out.
Never seen a guy submit from an abdominal stretch. And now you see Nash, and you see Hall in there. Hall is probably one of the best wrestlers to never win a world title, ever.
Yeah. It's a shame that he never did.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, personal problems became a, you know, problem.
Yep. And he would probably admit that, too. His own doings did him.
Right. I'll tell you, I think they kind of made the right move. Even though Sting is the Sting is basically like he's the big, you know, WCW babyface.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a good move because I think Sting is a better sell.
Yeah.
As far as like, you know, getting his ass kicked.
I agree with that.
Yeah, and this was around the time. Yeah, and this was around the time too where Savage was like, everybody was saying Savage was certifiably nuts.
He went with Miss Elizabeth at the time, right?
No, they were divorced, but this was around the time where they brought Elizabeth to WCW, and she sided with Ric Flair.
Yep, you know, Horseman.
Yeah, and you really got to see, you know, Elizabeth, you know, as a heel character.
And, yep.
But
it wasn't pretty.
Sting's getting his ass kicked here.
Yeah, he was trying to get the hot tag for Randy.
Yeah, well, he's trying to get that attack. Nash really isn't letting him.
Yep.
Here's the thing, though. Sometimes with Sting sells. Sting, you know, when he's wobbling, but instead of really going, I mean, he's a good sell, but instead of sometimes just going down on the mat, he just sits there like he just stands around and wobbles around like he's drunk. So. Now, you know, right hand set.
Yep.
Oh, he got it. He tagged him.
Yep. Who's the referee?
It's referee Randy Anderson.
He's not in wrestling anymore, right?
It's kind of hard for him to be in wrestling. He's dead.
Oh. Oops. Rest in peace, Randy Anderson. Then I didn't realize he was dead.
Yeah, he died from cancer several years ago. Here we go.
Nope.
That's the first time I've ever seen that—a two-handed low blow. It's coming, Eric.
Okay. Here he goes.
There he is. There he is, the savior, coming down to the ring.
Can you hear that? Yep.
No, I can't hear it. If they're watching along, they don't need to hear it.
Here
we go. And leg drop. And then Randy Anderson told him and says, like, what are we, what is he doing? What are you doing? And then Sting getting back in this.
Yep.
And then Sting got knocked back down. They just made these two guys look like a couple of schmucks.
Yeah, it did. And Hogan throws
in. That's the only thing I didn't like about this is the fact that Sting was made to look weak.
Yeah. Here comes the fans coming stuck in the ring.
Mean Gene's gonna come in the ring first, and then I think they're gonna start throwing stuff.
Yep.
Oh, I just saw some trash fly in the ring, and Sting's trying to get Savage out of there. Oh, here comes some more garbage. I think somebody threw in a Starbucks cup. I don't even know. Was Starbucks a thing back in 96?
That's a good question. I don't know. Do you think Savage was the right move to be the one that he did it to?
Yeah, because him and Savage have been friends for a long time, and they were partners before. They were partners at the last pay-per-view Hogan was at before this one.
Oh, yeah. And they were partners in WWF, the Mega Powers.
Yeah. So I think it was... I think it was a decent one. I mean, I think it may have meant more, I think, if you would have done it to Sting. But who knows?
Hogan's telling him to shut up.
See, Hogan's a good heel promo because a lot of the stuff that he says you really don't want to listen to anyway.
Yeah, sure. How do you think this would go over in today's wrestling?
I think it would have to be a little more, you know, like a little more edgier. Like they would have had to done, like it had to be more than just a leg drop.
Yeah. It would have to be like a, maybe similar to what Seth Rollins did in the Shield.
Right, yeah. No, that
even
was shocking.
What Seth did.
Like, yeah. I mean, because, like, you didn't really see it coming.
At the time, I think it was Dean that was rumored to be the one.
I think it was Dean that was supposed to be the one.
Yeah.
Because they wanted to turn Roman into this big baby face.
Yeah, they did. They still do.
Right.
Talking about Ted.
But, the Shield turns surprise. See, when I got older, not a lot of heel turns or whatever had surprised me. I mean, this one kind of surprised me, even though I didn't watch it live. Another one that kind of, like I talked about the one earlier from when I was really little, that kind of shocked me because I didn't see it coming when Bobby Eaton turned on Dustin Rhodes.
Yeah.
Another one that kind of shocked me is when Sting turned heel in 99.
Like
and hit Hogan in the head with,
when and he hit Hogan in the head with a baseball bat.
Oh, wow.
And it was just like, Sting, this is like, Sting, what are you doing? And I remember I was 13 years old and I was devastated.
I didn't realize he turned heel in WCW. I remember he did in May a little bit. When he joined,
he
Mafia.
Did. It only lasted like a month and a half.
Oh, okay. I suppose to the one in TNA where... Is he really a heel in TNA? The Mafia was over, actually. I mean, the Mafia was...
Well, they were over, but they weren't over. I mean, here's the thing. You had the younger guys in TNA who were all stuck-up little babies. So nobody really wanted to cheer for them.
That's true. They were the savior for TNA against Aces and Eights. But, yeah, look at all that trash.
Yeah. So.
That
all that trash.
Today,
If you did that in a wrestling ring, if you threw stuff like that in a wrestling ring today, you're getting arrested.
Yeah. Exactly. What were you going to say before?
But I don't know. But yeah, like stuff like that today. Like, I would hate to be the janitor to have to clean that up.
Yeah, it probably took several people.
Right.
But like soda cans. Yeah. Oh God, so nasty.
I think I saw a couple of cheeseburger wrappers in there.
There's the photo.
So, all right, well. There we go. All right, so that's the end of the video.
Yep. What else? Do you have any final thoughts there?
It was an iconic moment. It was a decent match. I mean, I've got nothing against the match.
Yeah, I don't either. It was the moment that was historic. The match was good. The match was decent.
Right. But yeah, so it was good, I think, for what it was.
Exactly.
I mean, it wasn't. Like we were saying, it wasn't classic wrestling match, but
I know
it did what it was supposed to do.
Exactly, it sold. Now. I wonder what it did in rating, in the buyouts.
In the buy rate?
Yeah.
That I can't tell you.
Let me see if I can find it real quick. WCW Bash. Buy rate 1996. Bash at the Beach 96. To the .71.
That's not bad
which
for
is not,
you know that time.
Yeah, it did its job.
Exactly.
Do you have any final thoughts or anything?
Not really. I mean, I think it was, you know, like we said, it was good. You know, it was a historic match. It was a historic moment, and it did what it was supposed to do.
Oh, somebody was trying to call in. I didn't realize that.
What, just now?
No, I got a tweet that said about 9:23. Said they were trying to call in, but I guess we didn't see. I didn't see it. No.
Who was it?
It was the guy that had a question for us, Wrestling with Reality podcast. I would say trying to call in again, but I don't know if he will respond in time.
Whoops.
That would have been cool. Maybe
yeah.
Next time. Let's see. If you don't have any final thoughts.
No, I think we just about covered it.
Yeah. I don't know what, we'll do another watch along maybe in a couple weeks or maybe next week when we'll see.
Yeah, we'll have to see because right now we are in the middle of our NFL shows.
Exactly. And that will be next Saturday at 8 o'clock.
Next Saturday at 8 o'clock. If you would like to join in for that show Saturday at 8, it'll be we're going to be doing the AFC North and the NFC North. I think we're already scheduled to have a couple of people on with us.
Russell, I think.
Well, there's a few of them that said they wanted to join. So we'll see. We're going to have to change the format a little bit, though, because we almost went over our allotted time.
2 hours.
Yeah.
We'll figure that out.
Yeah, so we almost goofed. We almost goofed that up.
That would have been kind of hilarious, but not hilarious at the same time.
Well, it would have been hilarious, but I mean, I thought it would have been hilarious. You were starting to freak out.
Yeah, because I had to think of plan B in my head because we'd have to finish the show. So.
Right.
But we got one shot away, so we know what to do for the second show.
Yeah. Oh, here. All right, now I'm a little ticked off because I think
it's
I saw
working.
The way to fast forward on a network.
So it's working now, of course, after the fast.
That's how it works. All right, hold on. Let me just... I'm figuring this out as I go along here.
Is your brother still up?
No, he's going to bed now. Yeah, of course it's working now, Eric. Because there's a thing on there that says you can jump to...
So it just took long to load.
Yeah. Oh, well. Stupid thing. That's technology for you, folks. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right. Well, I think we're just about done here. I mean, basically, like, if you want to kind of get into, like, the fallout of this whole this event, obviously the NWO was formed.
Yep.
You know,
The NWO had like several different variations of it over the years. And Wolfpack, the LWO, the NWO Hollywood, all that stuff. Sting, you know, a couple months after this, he would, you know, kind of go to the dark side and he would start dressing in black and white. Savage would join the NWO eventually.
Yep. And that only lasted, what, a few months before he turned back?
Savage?
Yeah.
No, Savage stayed a part of the NWO. He was part of the regular NWO, and then he's the one that kind of started, you know, the split between the NWO because him and Hogan were having trouble getting along.
Oh, wow. And how did the Wolfpack start?
Kevin Nash and Macho Man basically saying that they were set up with Hogan.
Oh, wow. And Wolfpack were technically a babyface team. Not babyface, but a tweener.
Right.
They were the cool guys.
Right, exactly.
I loved the Wolfpack. They were my favorite. They were my favorite in NWO.
Right. They're mine, too.
I just like the song. Song was awesome.
I know.
I'm singing it in my head right now. I don't want to sing out on live radio. So.
Yeah, please don't.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea. But I do have NWO. Oh,
right.
Is there any more? Is there any more fallout from that, or is that it?
Not really. I mean, there's a lot of fallout, but there's not necessarily a lot that we need to get into.
Yeah, there's too much history.
Exactly.
We can do that for another watch along.
Right.
I'll do some plugs and then we can wrap this thing up.
Cool.
Follow us on Twitter at Philly SP Podcast, and follow Doug at, what is it, Douglas?
At Douglas Hummer Jr.
And then follow me at Big E Jacinto. And thanks again to all of our followers. And I think that's it.
Right.
Thank you, Doug.
You're very welcome.
Thank you, Doug, for yep. And we'll see you at work on Wednesday.
You and I will be seeing each other on Wednesday.
Yep. And we have Jacob. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that. All right, Eric, I'll talk to you later.
Yep, thanks, Doug.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.